love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the All Time Gaming Super Show podcast, the number one podcast for gaming on all of your favorite podcasting apps.
All the outlets, all of them. YouTube.
No metrics.
Spotify.
We made it up.
But, the podcast system.
Google Podcasts. Yeah. Audio Boom.
All of them.
The Apple one. No one cares.
The Apple one. All of them.
I'm lying. They do. Like the Spotify one. Spotify do it too, right? That's big, I guess.
Yeah. Audio Boom.
We digress.
Now I'm shouting out companies.
Just random audio names. Audio brand names. So you've probably not heard my voice in hosting before. I'm Steph. I'm usually the guy behind social media. But joining me today, I have got Roisin on my left.
Hello.
And I've got Alex on my right.
Good morning. Or afternoon.
Whichever
you want. Or night. Whatever it is.
Whatever it is where you are.
Someone's listening to this.
Wherever you are in the world. What have you guys been up to this week? What games have you been playing more specifically?
Do you know what? I haven't really played anything.
That's a lie. You played DMC.
Yeah, you've been on a couple of live streams this week.
Oh, yeah.
You've been in more live streams than I've been on.
Do you know what? I forgot all about that as well. So, no, I have. I played 2 hours of DMC for the live stream on Friday with Milo, which was quality. I always like playing games with Milo.
Did you like it?
My adopted son, Milo.
Aw.
I did like it. I enjoyed it, although I set it to human difficulty mode.
Sure.
There are two modes I could have picked from. Human, demon. Human was too easy for the first 2 hours anyway. I just found it a bit... almost a little boring in places.
Yeah.
Stream's weird anyway because it's not a normal environment to play games, is it? But I think I would have enjoyed it more, and I shall get it at some point because I haven't got it yet, and I will play it on demon mode.
Have you played a DMC game before?
I have. I played one.
So you knew what was going on in this? Is this like a follow-on in the story to older games?
It's, do you know what? Probably, but it's been so long that I've forgotten everything from one. I mean, I think I played some of three like a few months ago, but... I must admit, like I wasn't really paying attention to the story. I played it for around an hour. But this, I think, I still felt like I could jump in and get stuck in and enjoy it. Like, I didn't feel like I was going, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Did you get the story? Did you know what was going on?
With the story, no. Like, I had no idea. But,
who cares,
but
really?
To be fair, even when I've played games like that from the beginning, I've got no idea what's going on.
Who gives a shit? That's what I say.
It's about the fighting, right?
It's about
the combat.
The gun, it's about the knife. Sword,
people were giving me grief for using the gun too much. Like Chris was saying, oh, come, you've gone. The gun's quality.
Yeah, when I played it, I've played for an hour or so to get a video done for Facebook.
Tell you how to play a game.
And I was at range with a gun.
I just find the gun to be fun. Like you just use it a bit, then you get stuck in with a sword, and then you use the gun again. You just mix it up.
Mix it up.
Of course.
Well, guys, I've let you all down. I haven't played nothing.
Nothing.
I played Donut County
Games.
On my phone.
That counts.
I've been doing a lot of good hard work, I think, anyway. Getting out the six lists, making something look special for the people at home, for the viewers at home. You know,
you
guys going to say anything?
No, that is more desirable than playing video games, Roche. You've been working hard.
I've been working my ass off.
Behind the scenes.
You guys, I was waiting for you to like chip in to be like...
What's Donut County? I know it's a mobile game, but explain Donut County.
Donut County is a game where you're a hole and you just suck up stuff. Literally, that's it.
And that's
what?
It.
Ruin lives of small animal villagers.
I have not seen Donut County
either. Jamie spoke about it on, I think it was like the second podcast we did. He was playing it because he played Florence at the same time. You're just this little raccoon.
Every time he talks about it, I just glaze over.
It's like there's, it's very charming. Like the script is very funny and like there are bits, but I'm not going to lie. I'm just tapping away at the cutscenes.
Right.
Because I just want to get to the bit where I'm swam a hole and I like sucking everything up. It's very therapeutic. After watching that friggin' Michael Jackson documentary, mate, play a bit of Donut County and you'll forget everything.
I watched the first one of them. Let's not talk about it.
We won't go there, but yeah. So I've been busy. I've been busy working, making quality content for everybody. Is your phone buzzing, Steph?
It is buzzing.
You better turn it off.
I'll put it on silent. All the way through that.
All the way through me talking. His phone's buzzing.
He's like, I just want to answer it as well.
If Jamie and Chris were here, they would have had a fit.
I want to answer it.
It probably is Chris. Mental, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it's Chris.
Probably Chris.
I did listen to all of that, though, so I have been paying attention.
Cool. What have you been playing, Steph?
Ooh, what have I been playing? As I said, I've been playing some DMC. The first couple of hours of
You've
that.
You've had a week
that
off.
That was really good. I have had a week off.
Yeah.
And I decided to literally smash out Metro Exodus.
Yes, you did.
And
nice.
I finished Metro Exodus as well.
Did you like it?
I did. I absolutely loved
I'm
it.
I'm jealous.
It's very hard being in the gaming industry when you've got so many games to play because you never, ever finish a game.
Yeah. It is ridiculous.
Yeah,
right
yeah. We I mean, even in a quiet time like this.
Well, we talked about it before on the pod. I think that the statistics are that only 10% of people that start a game finish a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. It's I never thought it was that
low.
That's
why I don't pick up games because I don't fuck about, boys.
You want to finish
If I'm playing
it.
A game, I'm gonna finish a game. So it's like...
Did you finish Gris or Gree?
No.
I did. Did you not finish it? Oh, you were so close to the end.
I was. I got really bored.
Ah, oh, fair enough.
Sorry.
It looked nice.
It's very nice.
But you picked it up and played
yeah,
it
I mean, I
nearly
up,
to
I did,
its entirety.
Yeah, I was getting quite invested in it. And then, I mean, yeah, life gets in the way, I guess. But... So
yeah,
I'm part of that little 10% with Gris, so I'll shut the fuck up.
I'm a massive part of that. I'm definitely
you
not in the 10%, sorry. I always start games, I never finish them.
You always buy them as well, money bags.
I haven't for ages, I'm bored. I've been so scared.
What was the last game you bought?
That actually, Jesus, I can't even think of the game
Red
that
Dead.
I actually
It's going to be Red Dead.
Yeah, it might be Red Dead.
Well, because I got some for Christmas.
Right, yeah.
And so I didn't have to buy any.
Yeah.
Like I got Battlefield 5, obviously. Yeah. I've talked to mine before, I can't even... remember what I got now.
Yeah.
I got a load of them, but I've played all of them. But I haven't finished it. Oh, no, I have. I finished Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Odyssey.
Because
I got that,
like that
for Christmas.
Yeah.
That's
so,
probably the last thing you bought, no? A Switch?
So the last game I technically bought was actually Eevee. What do we call it?
Oh, Pokemon. Let's
Pokemon.
Go.
Pokemon.
Let's
go Eevee.
Eevee.
Yeah.
But I haven't played that at all because I bought that for somebody else.
Cool.
So, Exodus.
Yeah.
You finished it.
Yeah, I finished
it. You loved
it? I did love it, yeah. There was times in the game where I thought this is dragging a little bit. The actual intro sort of and first open map were the best. I've written down here, it's called the Volga, which is the first open area you come to. They were definitely the best, the most immersive.
Okay.
And then
so
it's just,
the beginning of the game's good and the rest of it is...
Yeah, not. Just kind of the second part, the Caspian Desert, was again a very open world, but then it became very linear after
right.
that and it was just more of a... corridor type shooter
game.
Which I can kind of understand why they've done that because maybe they want to keep some of the feeling of the previous games where you were
yeah.
in confined spaces, it was more linear,
yeah.
it wasn't a big open world. So
yeah.
does it feel like they've tried to sort
it's
of shoehorn
you.
That into
tricked
this game?
You.
Yes, yeah, there are certainly segments like after the Volga area, you go and visit the Russian ministry to try and persuade them to, I'm not sure, to stop attacking, Moscow. And that's very much based in back inside
okay.
corridors. You're in like this big kind of fortress,
yeah,
which is quite cool. And I don't know if this is a spoiler, but I got the good ending on my first playthrough.
Oh,
nice.
There's multiple endings. Didn't
I didn't know that.
The Metro.
Who cares?
It's a common thing with Metro games.
It is. Yes.
I'm the 10%.
But
that 10% do finish games.
Oh, I'm not the.
You're
10%.
The 90%.
Sorry.
But that's the first game I finished in a long while, and I thought I enjoyed it so much that I wanted to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were times where I'm thinking, oh, I'm not doing anything now, Metro, and that's all it was.
Cool.
Do you know what I did? Because I wanted to play Metro since I played some of it at Gamescom, and I genuinely was a little bit jealous on the WhatsApp group when you and Chris, I think, were both playing at the same time.
Yeah,
and you'll be going, have you done this yet? Have you got here? Oh, this is so good. Oh, I'm loving this. And
we
I was
have
like,
a WhatsApp group.
I want to play
with
this
dogs.
Game.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
everyone's got a WhatsApp group.
Talking about games.
Each little.
I'm just jealous because I don't have time. So
there you go. Too busy
you
working.
Better move on, Steph.
Graft.
Better move
crying.
On.
Crying.
Well, it was nice to catch up with all of you of what we've been playing and doing.
Well, as usual with the All Time Gaming Super Show, we run through some news stories on what happened, what has happened the previous week, the week before.
The Super Show.
And the biggest thing I think I found at the moment,
mm-hmm.
Which has been trending online, is that EA have confirmed that they will not be holding a press conference at this year's E3, which is very much following in Sony's footsteps.
Scumbags.
For pulling out of
EA.
Wow. Harsh.
Well, this is the thing. They released a statement saying that they wanted to concentrate on EA Play, which is actually held the weekend
event.
Or the week before.
We went. We was outside. We didn't actually get to go in, me and Jonesy, but we was outside the last year's EA Play.
It is a weird thing. So I thought this, when this news story came up, I did think this is kind of a strange thing. Because when people, like when EA are saying they're not going to be at E3 because they're going to focus on EA Play,
yeah.
you people need, if you haven't been, like we went last year, it is all in LA and it's all very close together and it's literally like half an hour drive from one to the other and they're all held around the same time. So it's kind of to say that they're not going to be part of E3, I kind of think that E3's become this bigger thing now, which is just a time of year in a geographical location. So they kind of still are there. It's going to be online. They're going to be showing stuff off, but it's just their own event. So I don't know if it's that big a deal.
Kind of, it's just making it obsolete, though. The brand E3, like
E3
you know,
is a sure, as a brand.
If they were all together,
but then if E3 didn't happen, then I wonder if EA would then be shit out of luck anyway, because EA Play happens right near E3 and everyone's in LA because of E3.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a they're being a bit tricky, really, with what they're doing here.
Well, it's like Sony, like, what are they gonna do? They must be doing something, there must gonna be an event. A pop-up thing. Surely they're going to start.
Surely,
unless I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like they're going to announce PS5. So,
but do you think that's actually coming around this year's E3, the PS5 launch? Or do you think it's just because they've got nothing to announce that they think, well, what's the point of not wasting money?
I'm going to go with nothing, or it's too early, so they're going to go nothing.
So they're just going to have a break of like public.
So when's the? Because when is the Sony? This is like a big Sony event, isn't there? Where they announce stuff. Like, I don't know when that is though. I'm so bad with dates.
I don't know.
Don't Sony hold that? Have a thing like an annual thing where they talk about stuff that they've got coming up anyway, which is nothing.
Oh, that sounds like a Jamie question.
And he's not here. I could be making it up. But I'm going to go with nothing. That's what they've got nothing to show. That's why they don't want to talk about anything.
I think because they're so close to the PS5, they're winding down on the exclusives coming out.
Right.
So,
but they're not ready for PlayStation 5.
But they're not ready for the PlayStation 5.
So they've got nothing.
Yeah.
So I think they've got nothing. Do you think that when they showed like The Last of Us and the samurai game, what's it called?
Sekiro.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima.
Death Stranding. Was it? Do you think they kind of made it and they were saying, yeah, this could be in PS4, and then as from the developer standpoint, they went, yeah, this is probably I see this probably being on PS4, and then like now Sony's come back
closer
to them and they're gone, actually, we're gonna release PS5. I know they're probably aware and they've
shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th with prices starting at $31.84. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Fingers on the pulse, and they're probably in there. They're in the know. But I have a feeling they might have thought beforehand, oh yeah, maybe this will be PS4, and then they've been told to hold back.
Or were they just being tricky and they were trying to pretend that it might be PS4, and then it's like, nah, it's just gonna be PS5.
Yeah,
because we talked about the possibility of them being PS5 launch titles, haven't we? Is that they're gonna go
hard. Do surely.
Well, yeah, no, for now it seems that way, yeah, for sure.
But then surely it'll make more financial sense for a developer or a publisher to release on both platforms, because not everyone's going to jump onto PS5 straight
absolutely
away.
But so we've even talked before about you know how they have with the PlayStation Pro, the PlayStation PS4 Pro and the PS4, you have sort of like cross play with one disc plays across both consoles. I think I've said before that I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be the first time you effectively have a cross play game that is on the PS5, is optimized for the PS5, and then on the PS4 it works on the PS4, and it will be, because I had the whole thing of last time buying multiple games across the PS3 and the PS4.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna lie, it did bug me.
That's annoying.
Did Grand Theft Auto did that?
GTA 5 did GTA 5 it, and did so that. Did
Grand Theft Auto. I haven't heard it bring to that yet. GTA. I was like, what game? What
are you Last of Us did it as well.
Yeah, Last of Us.
There were quite a few games I think, but I missed it.
Between me and an old partner of mine, we bought Last of Us like 4 times.
Keep getting it.
Just love the
Keep
game.
Getting it.
And then had it on PlayStation Now. So, you know.
Oh, there you go.
What a slap in the face.
Yeah.
That was. But, I mean, we're supposed to be talking about EA.
Yeah. So, do you think EA, the only thing that I've seen from EA, obviously they've had some very negative press around Anthem, but the only upcoming game I can think of is worth any note is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I can't really think of an EA title.
Yeah, and they said they're going to announce. They said they're going to show it off. Right?
And that's going to be announced at the Star Wars convention in
San
Diego.
What is it
San
called?
Francisco.
The Great Star Wars Convention.
The Celebration Day.
The Celebration.
Celebration Day.
Star Wars Celebration is such a bad name, isn't it?
Star Wars Celebration.
So yeah, they did say they were going to announce it. So it's not even going to be announced at E3 because it's going to be at this Star Wars Celebration Day conference.
Maybe it'll just be more of it. maybe, who knows?
More stuff.
The other question I've got around that is, do you think E3 was better when it was just a trade and press event rather than opening it up to the public?
Yes, in some respects. So when we went there, I will say, like, going around as press before it was opened up to the public was awesome in that we could go play games, record footage, we could talk about stuff, we could cover a lot more things. It is insane when the public are let in. Like, it is ridiculous.
Packed.
But then at the same time, if it wasn't open to the public, would it be a lot smaller event online? Like, I've got no idea. Maybe some of the attraction is the fact that you can get tickets and you can go to it. People come from all over the world. So I'm genuinely torn.
I feel like as it's got more popular and more bigger, people are leaving. Why are they leaving?
But then is like, this to create that wider event around LA at that time of year, so it doesn't, because this is the straight, like we said.
So what's
going to
be at E3? Do you know what I mean? What they're going to fill the
Microsoft.
Well, it's still huge, right? It's still,
but
it's
no.
Still,
so Microsoft, they use the Staples Center, so it wasn't.
They have their own place as well. Yeah,
it wasn't even really in the same.
They all then go to. Really, they all then have the stalls and stuff at E3, don't they? And they all play games and show stuff off. But they do all have their own places around the city that you go to, and they do demos
so
at.
Maybe they'll have just games displays, and then they'll have their at E3, say at the convention center, they'll just have all the different games, just like, you know, when we went, there's Kingdom Hearts, Hitman had its own stall, Tomb Raider had its own stall.
So maybe you lose that sort of big show element where they have, that's where they stage all the reveals and things, and it does all go, that all those stages go to the movie theaters and the play, like the Staples Center and the big EA plays and stuff. But then it is just for the public and the press to go and play games at that event.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing, I suppose. No. There's a lot of small people there as well, like thousands and thousands of trade
like
people and indie
stuff,
things
which is cool.
And all sorts.
Daily vloggers.
They must make a fortune through merch as well.
Yeah.
Like, E3.
Yeah, they must make a fortune. Like the amount of people an hour in who are walking around with giant bags of stuff.
Yeah.
Is
but then they're generally tote bags filled with swag. That's given away for free, like pens and flyers.
For sure. Some of it is, but then I'm sure that there's like the amount of merchandise there, it must get sold. Like otherwise they wouldn't take it, right? And it is, first day is crazy. It's like there's so much for sale here.
Yeah.
Everywhere there's a little shop. There's a little this, and
that's
there's
what it's
a
all
giant
about.
Shop. Yes,
for your E3 t-shirts.
Sorry,
for your E3 t-shirts.
T-shirts of all, branding from all sorts. Like I think I'm still wearing I've got an E3 lanyard.
What are you wearing now?
This isn't from E3. This is
Alien.
Explain Wayland to people Corp. Who can't hear. Oh, right.
This is a from Alien.
Oh, okay.
Wayland Corp, the evil corporation from the Alien
films
franchise.
Wayland Yutani.
Films, TV, and game shirts. Alex Jones. That's
that
what
is my specialty. Do you know why? Because I get them for free.
For free.
Free.
That's
shit.
Why you got into this business.
Just free t-shirts.
It's for the free stuff. Do you think online has made a difference as well? The fact that so many people tune into these live streams.
That's
like
why
the
I
Game
think it,
Awards, for example.
So that's why I think it maybe doesn't matter as much about the specific location of E3, of people being at E3.
Yeah.
Because I think if you're online streaming your content at that time of year and from the same place, it like people just think of it as part of E3.
Yeah.
Like we cover it all as though it was all at E3,
even though when we got there we realized it wasn't.
It was all over the shop. Like Ubisoft were doing something straight across the road from where we were staying. And it was just, we walked across the road and we filmed it, and it was, it's all over the place. So I think now with the streaming, with the internet, they don't have to be at
E3. Yeah, technically that's what E3 is. Those just, after everybody displays and does their shows, it opens up. I mean, there's a press day, obviously, but you just go in and then you just, it's just stalls to play games. So whether Sony and EA pulling out means that there's going to be less stalls, that would be a bit, I don't know, that's a sad bit, I think. What's going to be there? What's going to
Well,
to happen?
I want to say EA Play last year, because they are still doing EA Play, aren't they?
Yeah.
So that was
they
massive.
Want to focus on EA Play
so
a lot
gonna
more.
So they're going to make that their E3.
And it's going to be a free event for people to register for tickets for.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to buy tickets for it.
Like I mean, you can watch our vlog, but we've got footage of the crowds of people waiting to get into that, and it was massive.
Yeah.
Like, it was huge. So I can see why they're not that bothered about going and doing it like 20 minutes down the road. If they've already got their big event where thousands of people are turning up.
It was so hot that day.
It was
they had to
really
get like umbrellas because people were gonna like have sunstroke because they were waiting for so long and there was no shade.
But before we went to E3, I must admit, I thought when we said, oh yeah, we're gonna go to E3, we sort of the stuff out, I kind of thought it was all classed as E3. I didn't think it was just that one trade show in that center.
Yeah.
So I didn't really think of it as like a separate
Didn't research
thing.
That one.
But it kind of is separate, you know, yeah. But maybe that's an event, right? It's almost like when a term takes on a different meaning and it just means it's the biggest gaming launch event of the year, but it doesn't have to be actually at E3 in anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I compare it very much to CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Trade Show, essentially, the biggest in the world that they hold in Las Vegas. Las Vegas? Yeah. And that's dotted around various different buildings.
Sure.
Yeah.
So if you want photography, you have to go to that building. If you want gaming, you have to go to that building. And then the actual manufacturers rent out hotel suites to invite the press to for like private viewings of new products coming out. So it's very much like, it's not just all hosted in one building, like say something like Eurogamer over in the UK, which is just in the Birmingham NEC.
Yeah.
That's dotted around as well. So it's very similar to that.
Okay.
What do you think about studios like Limited Run Games, which are known for kind of converting digital indie titles into physical copies for console, hosting a press conference now? That these smaller indie studios are stepping up to host press conferences at E3.
I suppose they've got to do something to fill the slots.
Suppose they've got to, yeah. If they're losing money, EA are obviously paying for that press conference slot. They've got to be.
I always find that's a bit of a damp squib when you have companies, because they can show stuff and they can say, hey, look, we're migrating this digital game to disc or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of a bit of a, meh, I've seen the game, I know what it's about.
Yeah.
It's that's already the come out. Thing. And that always, so whenever they talk about, even remasters to some degree, if they say, hey, we've remastered this game, except for something like the RE2 remaster, which was a completely new game, I'd argue. But anyway, when you've got like a remaster or something's getting, re-released on a different platform, I'm always a bit like, we've seen all this. Like, I'm not seeing anything new, you're not... Mm-hmm. It's almost like part of the course. You've got to sit through that to see the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, but more of that, I don't want more of that. It will turn me off to E3 in general.
Yeah.
Because then you're not getting the big releases.
Yeah.
And hey, maybe it becomes a thing that E3 becomes a trade show again, and you maintain those big shows around it.
Yeah.
By the big developers. So I don't know. Maybe it's a terrible thing for E3, but it seems like at the moment they're still massive.
I don't think E3's going anywhere for a long while.
What do you think, Steph?
On E3?
Yeah.
I think it definitely needs to be more focused on trade, because I think that's where publishers especially need the hype for the games coming out, is for the press to start saying, yes, we want this game.
Right, yeah.
It's nice that the public are being let in, but it's almost as if E3 have, or the organisers of E3 have said, we need to sell tickets to make money.
Let's just invite
as many people as we can along.
Yeah.
Whereas I think for the developers and the publishers, hands-on time with press, with the games, is much more efficient.
Yeah.
In terms of online streaming, I definitely like sitting back at home, you know, with a drink, watching an online stream of a show.
Yeah.
I don't technically, you don't need to be there now.
No.
Well, want to set together full time. Effect. So most of the streams at this last one, we sat in our Airbnb watching streams.
It was fucking 30 degrees outside, and these two demanding to have the aircon on. So cold.
Because we weren't invited to the individual live events.
No, we're not that big yet.
So we watched the stream.
Yeah.
In our Airbnb, and then went to E3 like after, or you know, before, or went and played games and sort of.
So did you have to queue up in all the queues and things like that?
No, it was kind of like
it was kind of quick.
70-30, I think we didn't queue up for some because we already had.
With like Odyssey.
Oh, we'd no, already we had went, agreements, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to. Yeah, we had there. Yeah, so like Jamie had his stuff to do, so he went to see Cyberpunk and did his little thing, and then we had to queue up for.
I queued up for Spider-Man.
Division 2? You queued up
Division
for?
Division 2. I didn't actually queue up for it. I think Jamie had
Okay, yeah. But then we went... Then on our last day, we got invited to go to Ubisoft's thing, and it was already all there, wasn't it? So we got to play it again in a different... This wasn't in E3. It was a different
place.
I don't know, venue.
It's like a loft, wasn't it?
Like a loft.
Cool loft.
Cool LA loft. And we played... what was it? Odyssey. And we couldn't get Division 2.
We couldn't get into Division 2.
They wouldn't let you in there.
Yeah, too secret
at the time.
And we looked through a glass at Starlink.
Oh, yeah.
There was these guys playing Starlink, and I was like, oh, just like looking at them.
I actually saw it. I played some of that at Gamescom, and I genuinely enjoyed it.
Did you build anything?
Yeah, we had they had all the little spaceships in the parts in front of you, and it was like, hey, just go mental.
Gamescom seemed like you played more games.
We did play more games. Yeah. And Gamescom, has the structure of Gamescom was very different in that. There were far fewer press there.
Right. So that's all for public. It's more public.
There's a whole day when it's just press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's public after. So we had a...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Like a day when you could just walk around playing whatever
cool,
you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, and there was no queues for anything.
Yeah.
Whereas even at E3, the press day is so busy.
It's still busy.
That you have
busy.
To queue up for things anyway. But on the public, in the public time, yes. The queues are like 5 times as long.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Starlink, I had a lot of fun playing that. Although I think after about an hour and a half, you'd be well annoyed of having this little ship attached to your controller.
It seems like something you would buy, I'm not going to lie.
I've been so tempted. So
oh, don't be silly. Next week I'll come on the podcast. Yeah, bought Starlink,
absolutely
in.
Love it.
Cave, bought
cheap
Starlink.
Now, went down in price.
The last gaming event I went as press was Eurogamer last year. And the press day was fine because there wasn't many people there and we just ran around playing all of the big titles. But when the public came in, we stupidly decided to queue for Sea of Thieves.
Right.
And we were in a queue for 2.5, nearly 3 hours waiting.
Why
for
did you
sea
stay?
Because at the time it was brand new. It was a brand new thing. There was so much hype surrounding that game.
And now look at it.
Of course, but looking back in hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have wasted 3 hours of my life queuing up.
You still play it now, Steph?
I still dabble with Sea of Thieves from time to time. Sell I'm still
waves.
Enjoying it.
But I, do you know what, actually, you've kind of convinced me a little bit. I think maybe they should turn them off from the public and make them train again.
Mm.
Because now, I suppose what they haven't done is they haven't rolled with the times, and there are so many more outlets now for games media.
Yeah.
And it's only growing.
Yes.
In that you're getting so many people now at these events purely in the industry that maybe you need to focus on that, concentrate on that, because you're going to reach a lot more people. You got me, Steph. I think I agree with you.
Yeah. I'm not as... pessimistic as I probably was coming into this. I was like, it's over. E3's done.
It won't die.
Yep.
It won't. I think as soon as the big companies get a decent number of games behind them again,
yes,
they'll start joining the shows, like Sony with the PS5. They'll definitely be, when the PS5 is ready to be launched or ready to be announced,
yes,
they will definitely do an E3 press conference again.
Well, they had a huge showing at last E3 as well.
Yeah,
it was
massive.
So I can't imagine they've gone from that to being like, nah, never again.
No,
nah.
We've run out of
Nintendo
ideas.
Direct.
Yeah.
Like Sony Direct.
That's the thing. You've got things like Nintendo Direct that Nintendo just does a 7-minute live stream on a new Pokemon game.
Or like Square Enix's one.
And the press are just boring. Like, bang, 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 we love this.
I find that so bizarre, Nintendo Direct. The whole setup I find weird.
But do you think they need to be at E3?
I think
to
should
do
be.
A press
That'd be
conference.
Amazing.
I think it would be, I genuinely think it would be one of the most exciting things if Nintendo announced.
It would be like Disney coming to
E3. It would. It totally would.
It would be. It would be great.
It would be. That would be something that everyone would be really excited about seeing. But the whole Direct thing and feels completely untouchable.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
I don't feel like it's that.
It feels censored.
I don't feel like I can be involved with it.
No.
Because they're not.
And it's weird for Nintendo to be like that. Like maybe they were waiting for Reggie. Maybe Reggie was because he was going. They thought, let's just calm down the next 3 years. Let's just do a couple directs, and maybe Bowser's gonna come in. Be on the stage, present everything.
That would be great. Some people in
Maybe
costumes.
You'll bring it back.
Just like Disney, like when you go to Disneyland and they're all there, like Mickey's there and Goofy's there.
Mario.
You've got Mario and Toad.
That's not going to happen. That will never happen.
Why?
Because
wicked.
Everyone watches Ubisoft's Just Dance demonstration every year.
But these are Mario. This is Mario, Luigi.
Yeah.
It's like Mickey, Donald, you know, you love them.
I've interviewed Charles Martinet. Which I thought was awesome. He's the voice of Mario and or Luigi and all that. It was brilliant.
Did he sample a bit of?
Do you know what's great?
He's not.
So I had a tape recorder. It was a written digital like web page interview sort of thing. But I had a tape recorder so I could record like his answers and then like write it up later.
Yeah.
But he thought that I was recording the interview for audio, so he was busting out all the voices and stuff. Like he would just throw them into general conversation,
that's nice
and I was
of him.
Beaming
Aww.
By the end of it. It was great.
That's nice because some
a
people
smile
like
from ear to
people
ear.
Who are like voice actors are like, no, I'm not a clown.
I thought it
I
was.
I don't do it on demand.
Genuinely thought that's what he would be
that's
like.
What Marge does. Marge Simpson. She's like, she doesn't do it, the voice. Only in the studio.
Oh, of course.
She only does it in the studio. She never does it. Like,
I want to say I sat down with him and I was like, oh, you know, hi, nice to meet you. And he immediately was like, oh, yeah, it's nice to meet you. I'm Charles. And he was like, and it's a me, a man. I was like, wicked.
Oh, what a good,
what a good sport. Well, I suppose talking about conferences, that sort of is a nice segue onto our next point about Google filing a patent for a new everything games controller. And I know, Alex, you know a bit about you're very excited about
this. I did read briefly about it, but I mean, Steph, tell me the news.
Well, it's said to be a game controller that provides notifications for a game invitation, chat messages, an indication that a user's high score has been beaten, which will be displayed as either an audio or visual cue, and it's compatible with TVs, smartphones, and tablets. And it also streams as well. You said that it streams the game directly to the controller.
This is the prophecy.
So from what I read, because like you said, it's a pattern that's just been filed, so people are trying to get as much info as they can. So it looks like Google are going to announce a streaming service for games, which is the whole Netflix for gaming thing we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
And this controller is going to be intimately linked with that.
Yeah.
Yes. And so effectively, the game controller will be the device you use.
Yes.
I don't know if it will be streaming the games to the controller, but the controller will interact with a host device like a TV, and you will then be able to stream games. Obviously, I don't know the exact how that works, but it is going to be the Netflix for gaming, which I have been talking about with Jamie and Chris, especially on the channel for like 2 years, where I'm like, this is the end of it all. Consoles are dead.
There was a time when they had a very, you and Jamie had a very heated argument in the office. I thought you was going to deck him at one point.
Never.
Actually, maybe the other way around.
Never resort
maybe
to violence.
Maybe the other way around.
It would definitely be the other way around. Jamie just goes Jamie's, red.
Yeah,
it's love and passion. There's never any real violence.
There was a bit where you was looking into Jamie's eyes like, what are you talking about? That's all I remember.
Because I can see it. I don't think it's far away. And I think I said the last time we spoke about it was like 5 years off. But I want to say that they're announcing that it's going to come out, or they're going to reveal it at this year's CES, right?
At GDC.
GDC. Of course. Yeah, the Game Developers Conference.
Yeah,
makes more sense rather than CES. which, if that's true, so if they're going to announce it, and apparently there's already a bit of a framework that they used to sort of demo it last year.
Yes. Yeah, it was the Xbox thing.
Yeah, I can't actually remember. It was
streaming
something.
Xbox to your phone.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, I'll tell you what it was. It was they streamed. Was it Assassin's Creed Odyssey? They streamed to on Chrome, so you could play it direct through your browser.
Oh yes, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Oh. Shadow. Was it Shadow Play?
We know too little. But effectively, you could stream a brand new AAA title to your browser and you could play it in real time.
Yeah.
And that was almost like a bit of a proof of concept. And obviously through Chrome, which is owned by Google.
Yes.
So it's not surprising that this is a technology that they're developing behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And it all now comes out. They've filed this patent. This controller's linked to it. And we've even had the conversation before at ATG that one thing that is kind of a bit of a hindrance to this whole thing is, what do you play it on? Are you just going to touch your phone? Are you going to like buy any random controller? So it kind of makes sense to tie it to a controller, and then maybe you buy a license, but you buy the controller, then you buy a streaming a license, so every month you pay your 10 quid or 20 quid or whatever it is. And if it is being announced this year and they've already tested it through Chrome, I don't think it's that far off.
I don't think streaming is that far off now that Microsoft are launching Xbox without a disk drive.
Yes, and you've got, obviously you've got PlayStation Now, as Rose said earlier, you've got other services that are already doing live streaming, but the issue is that they don't do the cutting edge of games. They're always like a generation behind.
Yeah.
But and now with Shadow Play, which we've talked about on the channel before, where you can live stream games as if you're playing them on a top of the line.
Yeah, top of the line from PC.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's not that different, right? Mm-hmm. I just think it's nearly here. Nearly here, and I will be welcoming it.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an option of gaming. No, like it's going to be a way that you're going to be able to play a game.
And how long will it be before it blows everything else out of the
water? I don't know about that, but yeah. But don't you think it's crazy that Steam has kind of missed the boat on this? Because I feel like Steam should have been a prime example of a brand and a company who's kind of got the resources and kind of got the things that they need to do this. Like maybe last year they have the Steam controller. They could have done it. What were they doing? No?
They were too busy concentrating on Steam artifact. Boxes and artifact.
Hey, it's interesting as well that Microsoft are moving away from hardware and Microsoft are moving to be more from a developer. And you have to wonder, is this because they know what's coming? So what's the point in looking at hardware when it's all going to be about getting Google money?
Google money.
Well, mind you, Microsoft have got fuck your money as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Yes.
I'm in two minds on whether it would come quickly because people's internet in the world, there are large chunks of this planet that still suffer from very bad internet. So streaming is not possible for them. So you're only allowing to offer that service to a very small percentage of people that have decent enough broadband.
Two characters for you, Steph. 5 and G, which is rolled
well,
out.
Well, that's the other thing as well, is 5G.
And G.
5G yeah. could change all this in a big way.
Yeah.
I think it can do, especially on the move, rather with your issue down.
Of people, you know, around the world not having good broadband, but that is based on infrastructure, whereas 5G is obviously based on a much broader thing, and cell phones and 3G, 4G yeah. is in a lot more places around the world. So
yeah. Okay.
I wonder if
I agree with that. Secondly, is Microsoft only going to, or sorry, Google only going to be streaming games developed for their platform? Would Ubisoft have their own one?
Yeah,
would
that's,
Steam
yeah,
be another thing?
Yeah. What is it going to...
Would Blizzard
what is
have
gonna,
their own streaming
platform?
It's going to
be the E3
you know?
Situation all over again. Somebody's going to start something.
It's going to be...
And then Ubisoft's going to have their own Netflix.
Yeah.
It's the storefront fight again, right?
Yeah.
God. It's the Epic storefront, Steam storefront, all these storefronts. It's going to be the same
it's
thing.
It's
going
to be too
streaming.
Much. You're not going to be able to enjoy gaming because you're going to have to think, what can I afford to pay monthly?
I'm like that with TV shows. What's it going to be like with...
Well, that's the thing.
There's a reason why I haven't watched certain...
Netflix, yeah. Amazon Prime, Disney have just launched their own one,
yeah,
which have
yeah.
removed all of Marvel and Disney from Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
BBC are creating a new one.
Sky On Demand yeah. is... say just through normal Sky, like, I use that literally to watch everything.
Yeah.
I watch on-demand stuff. And then I watch Netflix, which it now in the UK have a relationship with Sky, so you can watch Netflix
yeah.
natively
so you
to
can,
your
yeah,
Skybox.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Prime is on your Apple TV.
Yeah.
So it's all this... It's weirdly like meshes together, I yeah. suppose, as they're all trying to get your money,
yeah.
which kind of makes sense. But
then after a while, it's just like consumers are going to get frustrated. I'm already frustrated that I have to go to 4OD to watch Community. I can't watch it on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
What's it going to be like when I want to play? I don't know, a new game, and then I can't play it because I haven't got this.
You have to sign up to a whole new game streaming service just because you want to play the new Uncharted.
Yeah.
And you can't because it's only on this niche little platform that managed
yeah.
to like buy it because they paid $1 billion
yeah.
to get the rights.
Yeah.
It's going to be annoying as
hell.
Yeah.
It'll be a nightmare until yeah. they get some kind of standardization.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the industry.
Yeah.
But then I suppose with someone like Google, they're not necessarily a publisher. So they just have to pay the publishers for the rights to use the games on there. Which is, again, is going to be an absolute ton of Android mobile games.
Yeah, and then
two or three AAA.
One big game that everyone wants to play. I want to play. And then, a bunch of games that you don't want to play.
Yeah.
So then is it going to be worth it? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Will it be worth it?
What has the world become?
But then
it hasn't happened yet. So let me not jump the gun.
I think if you're in the train going to work and you want to play a game of Assassin's Creed that's going to run nicely on 5G, it's...
Get your phone out, get your controller out.
Get your phone out.
That's going to be so lame.
Get your phone out,
like,
connect
that
it to the Google
yeah,
controller.
I'm there.
I'm doing it.
I know you are.
I'm doing it.
That's so
lame. I love playing my Switch on the train.
Yeah,
I made a friend because I was playing. We'd been out for a few beers, I think, after work, and then I got on the train, was going home, got my Switch, I was playing.
Drunk.
And some guy came and sat next to me and was like, "Oh, what are you playing?" And I think I was playing Breath of the Wild, and he went, "Oh, cool." And he got his Switch out, and he was
yeah.
there playing. We had a little chat. He was like, "Oh, that. Oh, I've
like
not got to that level yet. I haven't done this.
Yes.
It's great."
What was he playing?
I can't actually know. He was playing something else, but he
hadn't done that level yet.
I think he was on Breath. He'd played Breath of the Wild, but he wasn't. He was like, I'm not that fighter.
What,
oh, what's
he
going
playing?
On I think he's a loser.
What is he doing?
I can't just remember what he was playing. I think I was too drunk to care what he was playing.
Fair you should enough. Have pulled out some Smash Bros and got competitive.
I didn't have. You know why? It was before Smash Bros.
That
would have
been a perfect TV commercial.
Like, it's just how they envisioned it.
That would have been awesome.
Two strangers get together on a train.
Two 40-year-old men.
All right.
I didn't say. I said 30. Outrageous.
There was a picture that went around not long ago, and it was one of these budget airlines, like Ryanair or something like that. And this kid sat next to this adult with his Nintendo Switch, and it was a copy of Smash, and they just played Smash the whole time, the whole flight.
I thought
that is awesome.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do on a Ryanair flight, so you know,
just sit down, play some Smash for 3 hours while you get to your destination.
I hope you don't die.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, at least they would have died together.
Yeah, playing Smash.
Jeez.
Playing Smash.
So the last thing, I suppose, again, a decent segue that I've got written down on here is the fact that it was March the 10th, I believe, yesterday. Is it the 11th today?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
over the weekend, it was right. March the 10th.
At some God point
Steph,
in the past.
Believe in yourself, Steph.
Which is apparently the celebration day for Mario because of
MAR10. Yeah, MAR10.
Of course.
Mario. Of course. Mind blowing. Of course, it would be Mario Day.
Mario Day.
So what I thought it would be nice to just touch upon what your favourite Mario game is.
You can choose one old one. When I say old, I mean like, you know, when you was a kid. And that was a long time ago.
Do you know what? It was a long time ago. So
and you can choose one, and then choose one recent one.
I think, well, mine, it was weird because when I was a kid.
I'm setting the rules, Steph, sorry. Yeah. You are the host. I didn't.
That's okay. set rules if you want to.
I think it was, is it?
Super Mario World?
I think it's Super Mario World that I played as a kid.
The game that still looks crisp as fuck today.
I think that was what it was.
And has perfect music.
But I'm going to come a few years after that because my favourite Mario game when I was a kid, when I was like technically a teenager, was Mario Kart. I used to love playing battle mode on Mario Kart, sitting around with mates on the...
Is that 360? No.
Is it the 60s? No, it was the...
64!
It was the 64.
I made a mistake, you made a mistake.
It was
Nintendo, we're a mess.
It was the Nintendo 64.
Let's
from the 60s.
Should we start
the
60s.
That
again?
No. we played a lot of it, it was great. And do you know what? So I've got one of my mates who was really good at it, beat me every time. The one time I nearly beat him on Rainbow Road, probably one of the only times I ever nearly beat him. He pulled the plug out of the wall. just as I was about to cross the line.
You still friends?
We are still friends, cool. Yeah.
Who did you play as?
I think I usually played as Toad.
Fair enough.
I liked Toad.
Smallest, lightest.
Yeah. Modern though, it's got to be Odyssey. I finished Odyssey. I didn't think I necessarily would, and it's a game that I'm still going to go back to because I've only finished it once, and then you know at the end of the game it then sort of says, oh look, you've unlocked all these other things you can do in the world to collect more moons, so I'm going to go back. And I need to play more of it.
Yeah.
But I genuinely enjoy playing Odyssey as well. And I'm not a massive Mario fan, so.
Yeah.
But fair play to Mario. Happy Mario Day.
It's not even his birthday. I was so confused. I was like, sorry, is it like the day he was born? Or like, I don't know.
This might be completely
gimmick.
Wrong. So I don't care.
Yeah.
I had an email, you know, to say, oh, Mario Day, you get 2 gold coins for like any game you buy.
They did a mad bundle as well.
But I want to say that, and this bothers me about like loyalty points in general.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, one gold coin is worth like 10p.
Is it? Not a lot.
20p towards a new Mario game.
Yeah. So you think, amazing, they've given me a little thing that I can use to buy games.
I thought maybe it was a pound.
Even if it's a quid.
Mm.
Like, it's a quid?
Yeah.
I've got to buy 50 games.
Yeah, they did.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Or I can buy one other game.
Oh, you get them per game you buy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You trade, like, you I've got, like, register that you're copying
it.
Two golds 80. That's a bit of a weird, just like, spend a pound, spend an extra quid. Yeah. It's like that with loyalty points at supermarkets. Everyone bangs on about them. You look at how much they're worth. They're worth like 0.1p.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, they build up for Christmas. When you come around to Christmas and you can get some booze on your card.
Yeah, maybe. I can buy one can of booze, please.
Should I answer the question?
Yeah. What was your favourite Mario game?
Old-timey ones. I really liked Super Mario 2.
Okay.
Because I liked picking up the stuff and chucking it and throwing it.
Right.
Do you remember that one?
No.
Do you remember it?
No.
I don't remember picking up the stuff and chucking it.
So you could like pick up, you could jump on enemies and then throw it at other things. So you could pick an enemy up.
Oh, yes.
At another enemy. Yeah. And there was also a bit where if you went too far and you walked through the wall, you'd come up the other end of the level. So you would,
God,
like,
I haven't played
I
these
had
for
so
such
much
a
what
time.
What console was it?
I remember it.
This was on a SNES and I had Super Mario All-Star. So it had all the games that were up to that point. So it had Super Mario World on it. It had 3.
Those early games, though, with no saves. I mean, Jesus Christ. That did my head in.
Yeah.
Redo, dead, lose your lives, go back to this respawn. Oh,
yeah,
my God, I've got to play that
are.
Ghost level again. I want to.
I think that's why level 1 music is so popular in Mario.
Because you've played
because
it,
you've played it so many times.
Yep. It's surprising, yeah. It's surprising it's not one of the most hated tunes in the world. No. It's quite, but nah, Mario's great. Modern, I'm going to go, even though it's going to be old, I'm going to go a little bit back to when I was in secondary school and I got my DS.
Like 3 years ago.
No, I'm quite old.
18-year-old Roshi.
Nah. So, yeah, when I had my DS, when the new Super Mario Bros. Came out, so when they revamped it and they put it for the DS, you could do these mini games. It was a time when you could do a Bluetooth connection and play with somebody else.
Okay.
So you could, it was like little fun mini games. So I just remember playing
with other people.
Yeah, I remember playing Blackjack, I bet you were Mario.
So at school lunchtime.
Yeah, school lunchtime, or like in between lessons. Nice. Like I, had a lot of fun doing that. But yeah, even though I think Mario Day is a bit stupid and a bit of a gimmick, I do love him. So.
Fair play. Steph?
Fair play. Well, this is going to be a difficult one for me because as people are aware, I didn't grow up with Nintendo. Nintendo
banned.
Wasn't allowed in my house.
So well, like, your parents worked for Sony.
No, they
no Nintendo, Steph.
Nothing.
Just didn't want me to have Nintendo in the house. I had Sega.
Look at that Nintendo. Cute little bloody character.
Of all the things that were banned in your house.
But
the most family-friendly.
Mario, yeah. The most family-friendly games ever. So the first Mario-themed game I had, or Mario starred in it, was Smash Bros. Melee on the GameCube.
Yeah.
Right.
And I got very heavily into that.
You're very good at it.
Very heavily into that.
Yeah.
To the point where I used to go to sort of not, I wouldn't say semi-pro,
in secret,
but county competitions.
Oh, did you?
All in
to go
secret.
And play
nice
Smash Bros. Melee.
Can you imagine if his dad walked in one day? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Is that a Mario character? How did you? Where was the highest position you came in?
Second.
Did you come to us?
Yeah,
it's bloody impressive.
Second, Steph. So,
and I only lost out because this guy who I played against was talking about frame rate glitches and how he can manipulate
cheater
the frame rate of the
scam
whichever
Con
character
artist, that is.
So I lost, but second was my highest.
You won in
our
hearts,
local
Steph.
Yeah,
local county tournaments.
It'll nice. Turn out in years to come that other guy was one of those cheats.
Yeah. Definitely
Steph was the real winner.
But yeah, that's the only, and that's actually going forward the only experience I've had with a Mario game.
Okay.
I've not played Odyssey, although I would really like to play Odyssey, but I don't own a Switch.
Is it still banned? Now you're a full grown man.
Now I'm an adult. I get phone calls from my dad saying,
"He's scared.
Are you playing Mario?"
He walks past like a shop window that has a Switch in it, and he's like,
"I'm just like this."
He really wants
it.
He's like, "I can't look at it. My dad will go mad."
Every year, like there's a news story about a man just beating up a Donkey Kong poster like, in a local game store or something, and it's Steph's dad just beating these standees.
Every time a release, he goes,
"Get out of here!"
Trash it.
That's exactly how it
that
is
exactly
in,
how it
in
is.
My house.
Something has happened in your parents' past when they were rubbed the wrong way.
It's
by
your
Nintendo.
Dad, though, isn't it? Like, let's be. Is it your mum? Probably.
My mum's not a gamer at all, so she doesn't.
Oh, so your dad is a gamer.
Yeah,
my dad's a gamer. Yeah.
Oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah,
your dad doesn't like Nintendo, and
he's not really a fan of Nintendo.
Right.
So I was never brought up on Nintendo.
So one of the reasons I bought the Switch was because I like the idea that in a few years my kids, that'll be their first console.
Right.
But not in Steph's household.
No.
Nope.
Have you carried it on? Are you not getting a Switch because in
some way... Oh, what I mean is it's followed you.
Deep inside.
I would like a Switch. And I think, as I say, playing it on the train, coming to work, I would definitely get use out of it. But it's just justifying the £200-300 expense.
Yeah.
When I'm very heavily invested in sort of PC gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're saying when I'm very heavily in debt. That's quite too much information.
But
no, I know what you mean. I get it. Yeah. Totally.
But maybe in the future, if switches do come down, I'll get a Switch.
Cool.
Well, so they want to play Breath of the Wild, actually.
Because they've got the new releases, or the new models, haven't they, coming out? Yeah.
Oh, they're going to be so much better than the ones we got now.
Yeah.
My one's already... It's held up, like, to be fair to it, or to be fair to me. I haven't really played it, because like, when after Zelda and Mario, it was like, okay,
done.
What now? What's
more
next?
Splatoon?
Yeah.
Pokemon.
That will
the new
definitely
Pokemon
be the
game.
That will be the next game I buy. Or maybe even Animal Crossing or something silly like that. I don't know.
Diablo. How are you getting on with Diablo?
Oh, fuck that game. I gave it to my nephew.
Did you?
You didn't like Diablo?
I haven't played it for a while.
It felt so old.
I'm sure.
It felt so old.
Dated.
It was literally me just holding down A.
Yeah, there's no challenge.
Fucking
there's
hell.
There is zero challenge involved
or,
in that game.
Or you just get bombarded as well. Yeah. And then you like you roll back and then it's like you go again and then you roll back and then you go again. And it was just a bit like, it's just a bit like, I don't know, it felt very old to me.
I found it similar to my issue with like playing DMC5 on human mode. Was it, if there's no challenge, if there's no threat in a game, you just kind of get a bit like...
boring.
It's a bit monotonous, isn't it? Yeah. Even if they're mixing up enemies and movements and stuff, it's like, I haven't got to have any skill to do this.
It's a dungeon crawler.
It's pure dungeon crawler.
That's what I find.
But I mean, Dead Cells is a dungeon crawler, and it did it right.
Dead Cells is hard as feck.
No, but it's so much fun. Like,
but you can succeed or lose based on your own skill.
Yeah.
Whereas in Diablo 3, like there's no, I could stand there like, on the phone. My character could stand there, not pause, just getting attacked. No, and I wouldn't be pushing anything. And I knew that when I came back, he'd be alive because his health regenerates so quickly. Like no one can hurt him.
I don't know. I don't know. Dead Cells is probably the game I actually played after Breath of the Wild.
I'm still playing that. Yeah, I keep going back
quality.
To Dead Cells.
One of the best games.
Frustrating.
Ever. I don't know.
I had 35 cells and you killed me. No.
I don't get frustrated with it though.
I did
There's
get,
something
I do.
About it, the charm. I think it's charmed me. I love it.
Well, it's one of those. It's an indie game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think there are a very small pocket of indie games that have actually done very very well.
Yeah,
for themselves.
And they hold up still. Like after many goes. You'd go back to it and keep playing and it's quality.
Yes.
What you got, Steph?
What have I got? What have you guys got? Anything else that has caught your eye?
I had a very quick news story which I thought was I just relay to you guys, which was that Respawn, but I suppose it would have been there, but they've banned 355,000 people from playing Apex Legends for cheating.
Good
to date. A statistic that apparently they release sort of every now and then. They talk about banning people, and they've just said that so far they've nailed 355 cheaters to the wall.
Who's still playing it? Anyone here? Anyone still
hands
playing
up.
It? Hands
Me.
Up. Really?
I haven't played it for like
all
a
last
week.
Week. Everyone's like, I haven't played it for 2 weeks.
I played it last week a lot.
You played it last week a lot. Oh yeah, you had your week off. So
I had a week off, so I played it a lot.
The only reason I didn't play it this week is because I genuinely didn't have a chance. And the last time I played a game, I was like, I really want to finish Red Dead, so I played Red Dead. I didn't play it.
Did you finish that yet?
No.
Jeez.
It's a long game, all right?
No, it isn't.
I get bogged down.
It isn't that long, anyway.
I get bogged down in doing weird little side quests.
Apex, yeah.
So there's 50 million players now for Apex, I think, the last check. But
that's
so,
huge.
355,000 banned. But one of the things they have made clear, like Respawn said, is one of their priorities is to make sure they're on point when it comes to banning cheaters. Because one of the issues that PUBG had was that they were too slow at responding to people cheating in the game. And it put a lot of people off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it seems like they are all over sorting this out.
They seem to be good, like ticking all the boxes, helping the consumer, helping the player. Like they seem to be on point.
I think they're doing a very good job with Apex Legends.
I maintain that I was killed in PUBG by a cheater. Jamie just said, "No, you're just shit." And I was like, I was like, "This guy couldn't see me."
That's Jamie's excuse for everything.
He just ran around a corner and murdered me.
Stop blaming the game.
I definitely blame the game every time I get killed by Apex Legends, or I blame cheaters. So I hate it when you play Apex Legends and it says this is your champion team,
right?
And now you look at them and they've got 3,000 kills over the course of their Apex Legends career, and I've got like 3. And I'm just like, how have they done that? How have you got 3,000 kills?
It's not been out that long.
Yeah.
What's the community like? Like, what's it like playing with people? And like, what's the?
I haven't really I haven't like voice chatted with anyone else I've been playing with generally when I play Apex and with other random teams, because it randomly assigns you to a team of 3.
Yeah.
But the community seems fun. Just weird is I never get people never just chatting shit. Even when people's microphones are on. You know, like when you play COD or anything online, you get little kids
Rainbow
going,
oh my God,
you don't seem to get any of that.
Wow.
People are either chatting as in they're part of a team and they want to be talking about the game.
Yeah.
Or they're chatting probably on party chat with people. Mm. If there's like 2 people playing and you're the 3rd to that team, which I've done quite a few times. Maybe they're on party chat, but then you can see when their mic is open and they'll say like, "Oh, there's an enemy over there," or "There's this," or "There's that." There's not much shit talking at all.
That's
no,
nice. That's
I've
nice.
I've no experience that. The worst thing I hate is if you're playing with a 2, like a pair, on the same team, and they both go down.
Yeah,
they'll just quit.
Oh,
they
yes.
don't wait for you. You want to go and revive your team. You need your team, but they'll
just
quit.
They'll just quit.
So then you'll just end up as a single.
Oh, so you just run around the map on your own?
Yeah.
Oh.
You have no option to revive them because
they've quit the game.
But I thought maybe that would take you out of the game and the game just gets cancelled.
No, it leaves you as one your own. The worst thing that, I don't know if you find this, the worst thing that happens is when you're starting the game and you pick the character you want to be, it then grays them out for the other people and it's random as to the order of picking characters.
Yeah.
And I've had it where I'll pick a character. Let's say like Bangalore seems to be one of the most popular characters.
Yeah.
You pick Bangalore, the other two people in that team, I've had it where they both then quit because they obviously wanted to be Bangalore. And it then doesn't give you a new team or it doesn't rematch you. It just puts you into the game on your own.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get murked super fast.
Yeah. I think they definitely need a solo mode on that game where it's just all.
I'd love to see a solo mode.
Yeah,
or bigger teams.
Yes.
Yeah, like three is an odd number, isn't it?
Four I could do it, but a six I would love because I've got easily five other people that I could play that game with.
Yeah.
But like single would be brilliant.
Yeah.
I'd love that. Maybe it's coming in the future.
Cool.
Hopefully.
Cool.
So I think to round off, what we usually do is we read some comments. You can leave comments over at All Time Gaming Official on Facebook, or you can actually find us on Twitter as well, at All Time Gaming TV. We are also on Instagram if you want to come and say hi over there. We've started being a little bit more active on that now. But I thought the first one, kick it off with Mickey J. Everyone knows who Mickey J is. He says, have you guys ever managed to soft lock yourself into a permanent dying situation? For example, Fallout New Vegas auto-saved upon entering a building. If your health ran out just as you entered, you would die immediately, but it would save, causing an endless loop of death.
I've never experienced that, Mickey J.
I have experienced that. I'm trying to think when though. I remember maybe not like a lock because I had I can't remember what game it was, but I had a manual save that I then had to go back to, but it was from a long time before. I can't for the life of me remember what game it was, and I just kept frigging dying. I genuinely can't remember.
No.
I had it a few times annoyingly with Wolfenstein.
Okay. What was that? Like?
And it was literally like, so the autosave, it saved when I was going down a corridor, but I had like low health, no ammo, blah 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 blah, and then every time, and there was no chance for me really any more ammo or to recover my health, and then I was just mobbed by enemies, and so it was kind of
I
just kept getting killed, and then I had to go back to a previous save, but whereby like game breaking,
I'll go into a bit more detail. I haven't experienced it. I know I can, because I would just be like, oh, I'll just go from the next save. I can't really think off the top of my head, but I feel like in Dead Cells, when you get to a certain bit, and like, you know, obviously because you just restart from the beginning and you're doing so well, and your health is really low,
and you know,
and you're just like, and you're just trying to like just bang through it. But yeah, that's the only time when I'm gone in recent years, like, or this year, last year, when I thought, yeah, that game, I'm like, oh fuck, I was doing so well, and I have to go back.
But I know it's gonna happen.
It used to happen a lot on sort of very old PC gaming, because it was always rely on quick saving. So you would run across and fall off an edge, and in a panic you would just bash buttons, and then you hit the quick save button and you save the game as you go off an edge. That used to happen quite regularly.
Nice.
I can't name specific titles, but it's definitely happened to me.
So you just
have
to go start again.
Or start again from the beginning.
Fuck that.
Or if you're manually saving it and you click the quick save button, you've only got one save all of the slots. Every other slot is empty. So you've saved over your previous save by quick saving the game.
One of the reasons I think that I still to this day, even with console titles that autosave, I periodically will create a new save on a manual save. And that is from when I used to play PC games back in the day. And you would be maybe not like a soft lock where it's a dying loop, but I would be so close to death that it would take me a few times to get through a specific situation.
Yeah.
And that is born off the basis of when I used to play games like that, and I didn't do a manual safety save.
Oh, actually, in Odyssey, Mario Odyssey,
it's
happened to me. There was a bit at the end, just before I got to Bowser, where I had, so you get three chances, and then you've got the last, like, the last burst of life.
Yeah.
So your mushroom goes down. Oh, sorry, just nearly knocked the mic off. It's like you have one, two, three hits, and then you've got one more chance to just go for it and see. And if you can get another mushroom, then you'll be revived.
Yep.
So then there was a bit where I just kept dying just before I got to Bowser because I only had one and a half of a mushroom.
Right.
And then that last burst of life, and I just kept dying, and that was
not
that.
Enough.
I think that's the most frustrated I ever got at Mario. Like that was it. Like that with that game.
Keep dying.
I feel like that game was pretty, you know, not offense, it was pretty easy.
Yeah. It's a kid's game.
It wasn't.
Unless you had half a mushroom before you met Bowser.
Yeah, but no, that was it. That was it. Literally the last few bits I remember you're walking on top of like the castle bit, and there's like one of the hammer guys are like rolling in front of you, and I just kept getting hit. It was all about timing, and I didn't have the timing.
In those sorts of games when something's about timing and you, for some reason, you just can't nail it and it just does your head
and
in.
It would just respawn me back where I just had that half a mushroom. And I was like, bleep, bleep, bloop. Like, my health was like beaming and it's just like, get some health. And I was like, I can't. There's nothing.
There's nothing around
me.
Oh, yeah. No, I know this happened to me, but I just can't. I can't specifically remember a specific instance. So sorry, Mickey J. Tried my best.
Nicholas Martin says, I'm going to replay Fallout New Vegas tonight, so I guess I'll ask, what is everyone's favourite Fallout game?
I don't have a favourite Fallout game.
It's got to be 3.
Go for it.
I think it's 3 for me as well. I started with Fallout 3. Fallout 1 and 2 are a little bit before my time.
I did as well, actually. I think 3 was, and the weird thing with 3 was that I hope I'm right in saying it was the first time Fallout went from being more of an RPG to being like a shooter RPG.
Yeah.
And I was very much a first person shooter game player.
Yeah.
So that got making the transition was much better for me.
Yeah.
What was weird, I love Fallout 3. I really enjoyed that game. I thought that I played the entire game. It was one of the things I did finish, amazingly.
And what ending did you get on that?
The one where I went in, I pushed the button and I nuked. I stopped things from getting nuked and I saved everybody, but I died.
Boo.
Yeah.
Oh. That was another example of a manual save because I manually saved before going in so that I could reload it and play the world getting the.
Yeah.
Did you?
Nuke it.
I did the good guy ending.
Why be good when you can be bad?
Also, why didn't the freaking super mutant go in and do it?
That's the ending I got.
Well, he went in and did it.
The Super Mutant did it on mine, yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know you could make... I had to do it.
Again.
Yeah, because he talks about how... Because he was part human, wasn't he? He was more humanoid than Super Mutant. He was all talking about how he was ugly and hated his face and things like that. People only see him for what he is, and he sacrifices himself to save the day.
How did I not get that ending? I had to do it myself.
Death. Super Mutant did it for me.
But then, because I was so Fallouted out.
Yes.
After that, I didn't play New Vegas.
You just was like, nah.
I was just like, I said, you know what? I need a longer break. And by the time it had, because it took me a while to finish it. Like, it always takes me a long time to finish big games like that because I spend so long in the world, not doing the missions.
Yeah.
So I needed a longer break, and I didn't come back to Fallout until Fallout 4, and I didn't play much of Fallout 4.
Cool.
Base building is not for me.
Yeah, I was the same. I played Fallout New Vegas. I played Fallout 3, finished it, played Fallout New Vegas until you started exploring the actual New Vegas strip, which was awesome. I love that kind of 50s.
Yeah. It has a cool
wartime futuristic aesthetic. Yeah. That was really cool. And I played Fallout 4 to completion. And I joined the scientists.
Okay.
I can't remember what they were called. The scientist people that lived underground.
Yes.
They were
they called? I can't remember what they're called.
I can't. I mean, it was either the Watchmen, the Railroad.
I did like 4. I thought it was kind of it was a bit pillory, maybe more than it should have been, but it definitely didn't have the sort of it was not as captivating as 3 for me.
No, I didn't think it was. I didn't get as into the story as I did with 3. What were they called? It's going to bug me. But Madman 20 says, how do you guys feel about the Sonic movie now after seeing that nightmare of a leak?
I didn't think it was as bad
as
it's not good, but I didn't think it was as bad as what everyone had said.
No, I didn't think so either. I thought it looked all right.
I was imagining like this monstrosity from a laboratory, like some weird bionically messed with hedgehog human disgusting thing, just because the way people described it, and I was like, oh, it's not as bad.
No. I mean, it's just...
I think he's got too like a slender body. He looks a little bit stretched,
weird,
you know.
Yeah,
in the games, Sonic's supposed to be like this podgy.
I suppose he is kind of like
tubby.
Why
hedgehog,
does it have to be in real life? Why couldn't it have been just like a cute little stop motion animation?
Stop motion Sonic film.
Old school.
I love it if they'd have done that.
You know, that would have been amazing. Why has it all got all like blur into the world? Like with the Pokemon movie, I'm a bit like, okay, besides the Ryan Reynolds thing, I don't think it looks that bad. I'm a bit like, okay, I can see this being a film. Do you know what I mean? But like, then on top of that, you got Sonic coming out with the same kind of thing. I'm just like, no, it's weird. It's stupid.
It's not something I'm going to see anyway. It's not something I'm bothered about. So
really? I can't wait for it, actually.
Jonesy's going to be the first one to see
it. and get the T-shirt.
I like Sonic as a kid. I played the first Sonic game. I played... I didn't own the next couple.
Yeah.
But then I sort of went back to it after my friends had it, so I played a bit more. But it's never something that I was that... Because I was more of a Nintendo kid anyway, and the whole Sega Nintendo thing. So, I only played the first one, really. But... I'm not. There's nothing that makes me want to go back and watch a Sonic film again. I'm gonna be like, I might take one of the kids to go see it.
As long as he doesn't kiss a girl,
he will.
Yeah,
he will.
That's what I mean. He's got like bestiality vibes.
He's got Amy. Oh, what you mean, like a human?
Yeah, like a human girl.
Oh no, if he's kissing anyone, he's got Amy, the pink hedgehog. I think it's the pink hedgehog.
I don't want to see them make out either. I don't want to see him making out with anyone.
I just want to see him jump on some skulls.
My dog tried to eat a hedgehog.
That's awesome.
I've got a big dog, and she decided she was going to eat this hedgehog. This hedgehog just rolled into a ball and just sat there doing hedgehog things, waiting.
Yes.
And she got a spine stuck under her tongue. And she just started crying, like, arr, arr, arr. So I went outside. I was like, what the heck? I was like, stop trying to eat your hedgehog, you stupid dog. So I had to pull the spine out. I think she had like, actually, maybe it was like two. So I pulled them both out and then she took her inside and had to like just take the hedgehog to a hole in the fence.
I'm glad the hedgehog lived.
Oh, the hedgehog was fine.
I bet the hedgehog was just like,
spiky.
Not again.
Not again. I got to get into a ball.
Best way of stopping, anything messing with you. I become a spiky ball when bothered. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
The last question we has is from Lucas, and in brackets it says pilot store.
Hello.
Not sure why Chris has put that in brackets, but it says, if you had to choose one game to play for a week, what game would that be?
Well, at the moment it'd be Red Dead, because I might actually finish it. Red Dead 2. That's rough, because I could play so many games for a week.
Yeah, replaying them again is hard.
I'll tell you what I would like to replay, if I had a solid week just dedicated, would be to replaying The Prince of Persia, the first three. Not like the first three, but, Sands of Time, Warrior Within, and the other one that I always forget the name of, The Two Thrones, something like that, whatever it's called. Yeah, that was like my favourite game series. So I'd like to replay. I'd probably hate the fact that I replayed them, and I'd be like, this is terrible.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I keep thinking of
it's
games.
Never like
I've got,
you'd remember
I've got
it.
Games in my head. Like, I was thinking, I'd sit and play Bully for a week, just sit in there and play it. But then I know that I think I've even tried, not tried to replay it. I was like, I sat down and was like, yeah, let's play Bully again. And I was a bit like, it's so small. It's such a small game. Like,
and that's ridiculous.
Cool. It's cool because, they didn't, they worked with what they had, and it was, I think it gave it something special, made it special. But I think now I've been spoiled. I'm just like,
big
I want to go
worlds.
In that bush. I want to climb that tree. Why can't
allowed.
I climb trees?
So that's what you wouldn't go for. So what would you go for?
I don't know, because then I was thinking, I was even thinking about like the Warriors. I'm just trying to think of
Warriors.
Oh, that's
Warriors.
Great.
You know what?
PlayStation 2.
Yeah, because that's actually, I did play that again, maybe not last year, year before. And I did still the combat, and that is amazing. There's a bit where you can run and just lob yourself, just like knock on like a whole lot of people down. It's great.
Have you seen the film?
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
That to be fair, the film to the game is very. It's a very good
Imagine
port.
If they remastered
it
that.
It totally works. Oh
yeah, it'd be
what?
Sick.
That'd be amazing.
A remake of the film and a remaster
and
of the game.
Yeah, and you know what? It was good as well, because it was like a prequel. So it's like it went so from the events of the film.
It's not
it was
actually
like,
the same
yeah,
events,
it was
is
like
it?
It was set like days like ahead, and I think that is quality. And you got to be like
on
every
the game.
Single, yeah, the game.
Was it?
So it's not the film. It's
no,
like
it's not
so
the same events,
they got
yeah.
creative with it and used
yeah.
the world.
But it's the
and,
same
like,
gangs,
it.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the same gangs.
It's same gangs,
the,
same characters. Even the people who was the voice actors.
Oh, was it
the
them
actors?
As well?
Yeah,
I genuinely enjoyed that game.
Yeah, honestly, quality game. Quality.
That was a random game that a PR company sent my dad, and he was just like, "There you go." Play this.
Lucky.
And I was just like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty
once.
Good. I've never
yeah,
heard
yeah,
of it
yeah,
before.
Yeah.
I played it once. I finished that.
What a gem.
Finished the Warriors.
Yeah. I remember playing it one summer, like literally just non-stop.
It's weird these days because there's games that I would like to play for. Like, so I could easily say Apex, right? I could easily sit down and play matches of that.
That repetition, not constantly,
but like every day.
Live, die, repeat.
The problem is with those sorts of games is that you never feel like you're getting anywhere. Right. So even though you like level up and you might unlock loot crates, let's say you get like a few crappy loot crates in a row.
Yeah.
You kind of haven't done anything.
No.
And unless you're going to pick those guns up or though whatever in the game world, it doesn't matter anyway. Like I've picked up enough skins for guns that I've never found in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Mr. 3,000 kills is probably feeling like he's achieved a lot.
He probably smashes it all week. But so many games like that nowadays, like they almost feel, you play them a lot and then you feel like you've not accomplished anything.
Yeah.
I think any online shooter is like that now. Apex, Rainbow Six Siege or
I loved playing Overwatch online. I loved it.
You're not going to achieve anything.
They lack substance, guys.
Yes, that sense of achievement is just gone.
There is a backstory. Like Overwatch have their backstory. Apex has like successfully done their backstory, and people care about the characters. You know, people have got a favorite character, and even for a person who doesn't play it, it is like I can see the characters are pretty cool, and they've got personalities. But besides that, there's nothing more to it. None of it matters.
I kind of want to see one of those games where there is a persistent, there are persistent elements to it. Maybe it is just a helmet that. Means you've got slightly higher hit points, so you take slightly more damage. Mm. Or if it is maybe like you have an ammo belt where you have slightly more ammo.
Yeah,
I would love to see just minor little things that at least made me feel like it's not just happenstance. I'm not just happening upon a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I keep getting a friggin' Mozambique, and there's no good guns anywhere
but
around it.
To make it fairer for everyone. Is that the point of it?
For sure it is. And I don't like paying to win. So I wouldn't want those things tied to money.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But tied to, say, number of matches you've played or level that you've achieved simply through playing the game.
Yeah.
I need that. I need that to keep me coming back.
Yeah.
When you look at your playtime for a game.
Yeah.
And it says you've played 100 hours of this and you're like, what?
Where did that 100 hours go?
How? At least in like open world games, you've got some badass a kit and equipment and you've done a lot of side
missions. I played 101 hours in Red Dead 2.
101 hours?
Mm. I'd love to see my playtime for Zelda. Time. I think it's like 200. If it was 100 for Red Dead, it must have been 200.
100 hours.
We should do like a video where we all compare
amount of time
spent playing certain games.
So my one was The Warriors, and your one was Prince of Persia.
Yeah. This
are you going to answer that question, Steph?
I will do. My one would be The Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Oh,
cool.
Because that's one of my favorite games of all time. It's very story driven. And there is enough content now, especially within the PC community with mods and DLC and things like that, to easily stretch a week's worth of game time
without sleep.
Yeah.
So I think
without sleep. Fair enough.
Constant week.
Oh, wouldn't life be better if you couldn't? I didn't have to.
Didn't have to sleep.
Injecting adrenaline straight into your eyeballs just to keep you awake.
That's what I want constantly. That would
hurt. More Oblivion. No.
I'm blind in my eyes, so I'll have to be into that one.
There you go.
Can't
You're
be
ready for it.
Side, the other one. That's true. I'm ready for my adrenaline to the eye. Well, I think is that everything?
That's everything for me.
Yeah, that's good. Me too.
I've been great. You've been great.
I think it's been a really good show this week.
It's been good hanging out with you guys chatting about games.
As always, this show will be on YouTube, but you can find it on pretty much all of the popular, most used podcasting applications like Spotify. It's on iTunes. It'll be on Google Podcasts. So you can just search for the All Time Gaming Super Show podcast on those. You can tweet us at All Time Gaming TV, and that's also our handle for Instagram as well, as I say, if you want to say hi over there. Or you can get in touch with us over at Facebook, which is at All Time Gaming Official. And just remember, at the end of every show, we like to answer your questions. So if you have any questions, then do leave us a question over
there. Send
them.
Yeah.
Send them in.
Yeah, and we always have to add as well that, you know, if you did enjoy the show, as we always say, it is a 5-star show. So give us a rating on whatever platform you were on, because we are eternally grateful for that. It does a lot for the metrics. And
yes, it does.
We enjoy doing it and we hope you enjoy listening.
Yeah.
So with that being said, thank you for watching, and we will see you in the next, or talk to you in the next podcast.
See ya.
Goodbye.